It's great to have you here today on the Friday before Christmas. Now, I will be here on Monday, Christmas Day, with you. God Is will be on the air right here on WEZE Christmas Day at 4:30 p.m. And of course, the podcast will be available on the WEZE website soon thereafter. The podcast will be available on 590amtheword.com. Just click podcasts on the homepage. But for those of you who will be otherwise engaged on Monday, let me say to you today that I hope you enjoy a blessed Christmas. Please come back and join us next Tuesday through Friday. I'm going to be here every day next week, and I hope you will be too. With all my heart and energy, I've conveyed to you the truth about Christmas that is found right here in John chapter 1. This week, we've been focused on John 1 and verse 14. Let me read this again as we get started today. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you're here regularly, these words must be ringing in your mind by now. Good. If you have memorized this, even better. And we've broken this verse down into four parts and discussed each part Monday through Thursday this week. Today, I have promised you a story that highlights the end of John 1:14. The last five words of this verse say that Jesus is full of grace and truth. So today, let's see Christ in action. How does Jesus prove himself to be both grace and truth? I'm going to read John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman's been caught in adultery in the very act.' Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down to the ground and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." As always, there's much that can be said of the text. Time does not permit me to get down into the nitty-gritty. But the point of Jesus' encounter with this woman is clear. Jesus is grace and truth. Where do we see this? Well, it's in the way he treats the woman caught in adultery. The woman, we do not know her name, is rightfully accused of adultery. She does not deny it, and Jesus does not ask her if the Pharisees are right about their charge. Jesus doesn't have to ask. He already knows. Because Jesus, being God, knows everything. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't deny what the Old Testament law says, but he immediately understands why the religious rulers have brought him the adulteress. They did it to test him, says verse 6. So what does Jesus do? He tests them. He starts writing on the ground with his finger. They persist, and so Jesus asks them an alarming question. And this is typical of Jesus. He answers questions with questions that leave his accusers stumped. "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." In other words, who of you hasn't sinned? If you have no sin, throw a stone at the woman. Jesus is telling them the truth about themselves. They are as sinful as the woman. And so, what right do they have to accuse her? Verse 9 says, "When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court." And there's a reason why they slinked away. Pharisees themselves were serial adulterers. They did it in the form of divorce. These men would divorce their wives on the smallest of accusations. Their wife did not wear her hair right. Dinner was not prepared properly. I'm not kidding. So they divorced their wives and married another and divorced and remarried, and on it went. So when they heard Jesus tell the truth about them, they left. They did not want to risk being called out sin by sin. Notice how the oldest leave first. Why? Well, the older they were, the more sin they had committed. This is definitely Jesus telling the truth. But let's focus on the exchange between Jesus and the woman now. After all, he is left with her in the center of the court. Jesus asks her a question. Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? Shocked, she responds, no one, Lord. The use of the title Lord here tells you right away that she accepted Jesus as having command of her life. And then Jesus, in a truly remarkable moment, says this to her, I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. There it is. Grace and truth. Where is the grace? I do not condemn you. Where is the truth? From now on, sin no more. Literally, Jesus says, leave your life of sin. Leave your life of sin. Truth. Jesus tells her the truth. He acts in grace. He speaks in truth. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. Adultery, both then and now, is sin. Jesus will condemn sin. So why doesn't Jesus condemn her there and then? Grace. So please notice how grace and truth go together perfectly within Jesus Christ. He is never one or the other. And this is another thing about Jesus that we must get right. Jesus accepts us the way we are and lavishes his grace upon us. But we have to receive this grace by making a conscious choice to believe in him and to follow him. As we make that choice, Jesus moves into our lives so as to transform us into his image. And this means we hear a whole lot of truth about ourselves. Jesus changes us. He tells us to sin no more. With his encounter with the woman, it's clear that he expects her to stop sinning, to cease adultery. In our lives as Christ followers, he expects us to stop sinning. And he's given us the resource to depend on in our battle with sin, the Holy Spirit. So the grace of Jesus is never ever an excuse to keep on sinning. That's what too many Christians get wrong. There always has to be a God-given balance between grace and truth. And in my experience, most Christians are always coming across as one or the other. We are either so full of truth that we do not offer grace to others, or we are so gracious that we hide the truth from others. The truth is, this woman would have been condemned until she met Jesus and accepted his gracious offer. The men, the Pharisees, will be condemned. All men and all women will be condemned, except for this. The only way not to be condemned for sin is to accept the grace of God through Jesus, who has died for our sins. But if we reject Jesus, if we deny him his grace, then we will be condemned for our sin. This is the truth about every person. If you do not trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then God will judge you, and you will spend eternity in what the Bible describes as hell. The only way to avoid hell is by the grace of Jesus for you. And why is Jesus the only way to avoid hell? Jesus takes on himself the condemnation intended for us. So that, to quote Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is why Jesus tells the woman, I do not condemn you either. However, anyone outside of Christ Jesus will be condemned. This is how grace and truth go together, and in Jesus, they always fit together perfectly. I just love how one verse, John 8, verse 11, gives us a clear picture of Jesus, full of grace and truth. I hope you see it too. And if you do and would like to know more about Jesus' grace and truth, write to me this weekend. My email is mark@markaswallow.com. mark@markaswallow.com. I'll be happy to hear from you, and I'll send you more resources that can assist you in your understanding of Christ's grace and truth. All of us are sinners. Oh, we may not have committed adultery like this woman in John 8, but we all sin. One way or another, we sin. And what's so great about Christmas is that Jesus is born into the world to save us from our sin. No wonder Charles Wesley wrote this: "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." John chapter 1 and verse 14. Remember this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the message of Christmas. Enjoy a blessed weekend, everyone, and I will talk to you again here on Monday, Christmas Day. Let's spend part of it together right here on God Is.